Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome all to Eerie House Radio. I am your host, and you know who I am, so why go on? You know, it's been an interesting week, and we lost the last of the Mercury 7, the original astronauts. Perhaps the last true heroes, true American heroes. John Glenn passed away at the ripe old age of 95, and you know, it got me thinking about a different time. You know, in the 1960s when I grew up, being a kid interested in science and space and science fiction, the space program was very exciting then. And John Glenn was the first person to orbit the Earth in the Mercury program. And then later came Gemini. I always thought those capsules looked cool. It almost looked like an alien face. And then, of course, you had your Apollo missions that took us to the moon. That all happened in the 1960s. Well, when I was a kid, you could mail in the regular mail. You know, getting information wasn't easy then. We didn't have no internets. So you could mail to any of the NASA offices around the country. Of course, there's one here in Ohio, the John Glenn Center, no less. But there's others in Texas and Florida, and they would send you all these great brochures with information and fantastic photos about the various stages of the NASA program. And that was really, really an exciting time. And I think it was a time when it influenced the science fiction industry in the movies. And we have a caller already, and I'll bet I know who this is. Hey, Gar!
It is I, Gar the Cool, in my spacesuit.
Is it all silvery and shiny?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
and
cool.
I can't breathe. And I can't see. And I can't hear.
I just wrapped myself in aluminum foil for this show, so I know how you feel.
Go ahead, be a baked potato. All right.
That's right. I wouldn't mind rolling myself in some butter either. But
there you go.
No, you remember
that's
how...
That's a whole nother show right there, buddy.
Roughly my age, and do you remember, like, how exciting it was when we had the space program going on?
Yes, and for various different reasons. One, as a child of the time, what was one thing that we got? We got toys. We got space toys. We got Major Matt Mason, Star Commander guy, whatever. You know, all those crazy, you know, fun toys, but... Yeah, and we also got all those amazing. Well, the conjecture from going from the Earth somewhere else. Remember that big? It was something like the 1920s. There's a picture of the moon, and it's got a face, and there's a bullet in one of the eyes because somebody.
That
went
is
to the
actually
moon.
That is one of actually George Méliès did the story A Trip to the Moon.
Right.
In 1903.
Oh, okay. I'm way off.
That is an ancient classic, and it's George Méliès was one of the pioneers of science fiction. And movies up until the 1960s, they had to really rely on imagination for the spaceships, like the movie you mentioned. It was a giant cannon that shot a bullet right at the moon.
Right.
And people
there
climbed
just happened
out
to be people in the bullet, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, there were various ways that Hollywood showed, I think, you know, we saw a lot of that in the 50s of what spacecraft may look like.
Right.
But I think as the NASA program developed, science fiction audiences needed a little more to go on in terms of space flight looking realistic and how interactions with aliens might be and so forth. And some of them were ridiculous and cheapies. I mean, one of my favorite films of the era. Do you remember, Gar, do you remember Frankenstein Meets the Space Monster?
Yes, yes. And he was, like, fighting. It was weird. It was really – I do remember that. Yes, I do. there was some type of situation where the Frankenstein monster was – contained, and he was fighting with a space monster. There's so many movies, it's a blur, but I do remember that one.
One's from 1965, and there's two songs in it, and I would have loved to have played them here, but I'm not sure it's safe material, and I don't mean in terms of content.
Right.
I just don't want to have problems.
Not everyone's dead yet.
That's right.
That's a good way to gauge it. If they're dead, well, you know.
Still got a ways to go for the 75-year mark. That was from
1965.
And,
so I have three big, because when you pulled on my collar and my ear a little bit ago, I was like, what do I got going on with space? All right, I got three things that came to mind that are funny and we could talk about. One, there's two different premises about every space movie. It's either us going to or something coming to us.
Yes.
And those two dynamics can make or break it right there. What's going to happen? Like the Fire Women of Venus, or I can't remember. You're going to have to be my fact checker guy because I'm going to say all kinds of weird stuff. But there was something like Fire Women of something. And Release the Kraken. No, that was last week.
Backward. Rewind.
Where we went somewhere, and then we discover unusual beings, you know, and how we got there. I can't remember. Some of them are... one was a revolving space station. I remember that, and it was round and had spokes like a bicycle, and they would go from Earth to that, and from that they would go outward and beyond, and then they would discover...
You could be talking about one of the best science fiction films that was released in 1968 and was heavily influenced, I think, by NASA and the space program, was 2001, A Space Odyssey.
No, this was cheesier than that.
Oh, okay.
It was cheesier. That was great. That one's right up there.
The one I'm talking about is... Could it be one of the Gamera movies? They had some pretty ridiculous space stations.
It was a foreign film, not from the America. One of the guys had curly hair, and he was like Swedish or something. It was a Swedish or Dutch film, I can't remember where it came from, but it was so weird that one guy had like a white afro, very curly blonde hair, incredibly big hair, and he wore cowboy boots, and he was like, I'm a cowboy from Sweden or whatever. It was very weird.
You lost me on that one.
Yeah, no, and we had to go to the planet Man, I wish I could remember that one, but that was a space one. That was one. One of the guys was a real tall person, not from America, saying he was a cowboy, and he was like their navigator or something. It was very weird. What was that? The premise was it was a professor, and he was making new life or something like that, but he planted a bomb and was going to blow up the entire Earth or something like that, and there was a squad that had to go to this planet to rescue the professor, and the professor ended up being insane, and
Could that have been with Claude Rains?
Oh, it might have been, because Claude Rains did some
Conquest
late...
Conquest of Space, maybe, or something?
Yeah. Now it's going to beat me in the head until I remember what the name of it was. I just saw it within the last few weeks.
Being on the shelf,
I see a lot of these. But anywho, it's either going to or coming from. And if they're coming to us, what form will they be in? And that's where we get all our bizarre space monster creations.
Yeah, and I think that was a paradigm a lot of the 50s, you know, worrying about those things. In the 60s, I think they were striving more for realism. One of my favorite public domain films is The Phantom Planet.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that one where the
it disappears every so often. The planet just disappears. Is that the one?
It turns out it's more like of this asteroid thing, and these ships get sucked in. Now the star of the film lands on the planet, and his faceplate cracks on his spacesuit.
And he shrinks.
Correct.
Right? Yes.
Yeah,
he
meets a race of people, and they have their little problems. There's these alien things that give those people problems, and he gets a girlfriend who can't speak, which is great.
And the fan mail goes crazy.
Yeah. I love that movie because I saw it a few times, you know, on the horror-hosted shows here in Ohio back in the day.
Yeah. So on the premise that a creature's coming here, and we still had creatures. There were still space creatures in some of the 60s space movies. Maybe not as many, but they were still there. Well, one of the premises goes to a tip of the hat. It took me point A to point B to point C to get here. I had to go to professor on Gilligan's Island's name is Russell Johnson, and he was in a movie called What? It Came from Outer Space. Now, this is 1953. But on the premise they had to come here, right? So in this particular film, not only did they crash here, but they had to absorb our bodies because they couldn't fix their ship physically. If they couldn't fix their ship physically, how did they physically put the ship together first place to get here? But so that's one of the
problems. I don't know. You know, the 50s did have a lot of those them coming here kind of stuff, like the brain from Planet Eris, like Day the Earth Stood Still, a lot of, you know, whether for good reasons or bad.
Right.
And I think in the 60s, it was more us going there. You know, with the space program, it made space travel more real, and hopefully it renewed the interest in science fiction to the point where, you know, it's a very popular genre now, I think, in films, you know, in modern films.
I was just looking up science fiction films of the 1960s that I run across Atomic War Bride.
Of course.
What is an Atomic War Bride? You're glowing in the dark, honey. Put something on.
What do you expect from Yugoslavia?
yes, probably. Atomic War Bride. Okay, anyway.
That's okay. You know I'm a fan of Ray Harryhausen, you know, with
yes,
the monster.
Harryhausen, Hausenhizer. Yeah, that guy. I love that guy. I can't say his name, but... Yeah.
He worked on a film directed by Nathan Jurin, as most of his earlier works were. They did First Men in the Moon, and they did an interesting wrinkle of the story. It starts out in modern times when man, and this film, by the way, was made in England. And it was amazing because 1964, we were still 5 years away from landing on the moon.
Right.
The ship they used, they had a capsule and everything, very similar to the way, you know, the Apollo missions worked out. It was really neat, and then they reflected back to the preceding century, like the late 1800s, when a fellow made this paint that was anti-gravitational, and made a ship that was like round with shock absorbers, and painted it, and floated off to the moon.
Right.
And you know, it, at the beginning of the story, they're talking to the guy who traveled out there when he was very old, and it was neat. It was just a neat way they put the story together. And of course, Harryhausen got to do a few giant creatures in the film, but it was one of his first times with space, first and only time, I think, with space travel. And it was a very entertaining film.
And I love, Lots of colors. Am I looking at the right one? Oh, no, that's something different. Never mind. Yeah, I always like when they land, they came up with more traditional space craft, but then they have to figure out a few things. Curiously, we're doing it now in 2016. You take off vertically, and then you land vertically. Vertically? Yes. Yeah, vertically. Yeah, that's it. And we're just figuring out how to do that. But the movies had it down pat. You know, they would do a lot of that.
Oh, yeah, the ship would just turn and come to a landing. That's funny.
And also, another thing is how they got to the surface. You can never not love a film where they land and then you see a Lowe's extension ladder being lowered.
Yes.
gotta love production values on some of these things.
I know. You remember a movie with Adam West? It was called Robinson Crusoe on Mars.
Oh, yes, and I liked it, and they killed off Adam West, like, immediately.
Yeah, I know.
That was like,
1964 movie, and again, the spacesuits were more realistic. I know some of these films, and I wish I could tie a title for you together, but they actually got permission from NASA to use, footage of, launchings and things like that for their films to give them an aura of realism.
Oh yeah. I always love the ones where the space inside the spacecraft, they got, they're using office chairs with wheels.
Yes.
I love those.
Well, hey, they're handy now. So maybe it is kind of futuristic.
Yeah, I think they'd have to have like some type of tether on them or something so they don't float around. But so there's all these concepts that we never think about that we understand now that we didn't think of back when we were enjoying our space movies in the 1960s. One is gravity. I don't think they mastered the gravity thing back then.
Until 2001 did some fantastic stuff with considerations towards gravity.
But before that, absolutely.
It was a mess.
And I'm just going to toss it out there. Most of the stinkers that we pay attention to, the B films, see, 2000, that one. That's in a class of its own.
Yeah,
you know that's way that's Academy Award winning. You know, even people that trim toenails got an award on that film. The ones we're looking at, the bees with a big boing. There you go. Those, you don't have sometimes they would curiously pay attention, like very minutely, like. Let's say there's a woman on the flight. Her ponytail is on. There's a fishing line, you know, and it goes up.
Yeah.
So great. you see the hair floating, but that's the only thing. No pens, no monkeys floating around. Just that ponytail's up there. The whole movie.
Monkeys.
Like a marionette
around.
For hair. Planet of the Apes, another one. Planet of the Apes. That was that's a 60s film, and it is about space travel. And time travel.
Yes.
But again, not our B movies, but
not the ones
so
that
enjoyed.
Stuff
people
like,
of Earth, attention. This is a voice speaking to you from thousands of miles beyond your planet.
Okay.
Imagine how big that megaphone is.
Yeah. It was kind of clear.
I tell you, it came in pretty good for being that loud, that big. Okay. Yeah,
time.
So we've got, who we got in here? We've got the Movie Man back again. Guest 364 is in here. And Space Pirates. Hey, Space Pirate, how you doing? Blah, blah to you. From Gar the Ghoul. That was everybody.
Yeah, the Movie Man
chat.
Points out that they used office chairs and Catwomen of the Moon.
Yeah, they did.
And he also brings up, since it's the holiday season, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Why not? That was a 1964 classic with Pia Zadora, and it is.
And I think it was made in Spain. I believe it was made in Spain. It's not an American film, I don't think. For some reason,
Wiki's calling it American, but it's it's a fun film.
Right. Yeah. Oh, definitely it is. I play it every year. I'm on the shelf still. Gar playing Elf on the Shelf. I'm still on the shelf, so I'm hoping next week I'll start doing my 4-hour live broadcasting again. Yeah.
My daughter hated the Elf on the Shelf.
She
thought of him as Santa's little narc.
Oh. Well, see, back in the 1960s when we just had, they were called knee huggers. They were just called knee huggers. They were elves, and they had a felt suit, and they hugged their knees, and you put them all over the place. They were just part of the decor, and I never heard of Elf on the Shelf until, what, last 10 years? Five years?
Well, we brought out the elf every Christmas and put him, like, way up, high up, and he would spy on the kids, and that was Santa's little narc. He was watching to see if you're good for Christmas. You know, you bring him out just after Thanksgiving. Oh, my daughter hated it. She hated that elf so much, and the funniest thing is when she first created a Facebook page on Christmas, I posted a picture of that very Elf on the Shelf, ours, in front of our fireplace, and she was both amused and ticked at the same time.
See, the knee huggers that originally the Elf on the Shelf came from, an inexpensive knee hugger is like something you pick up at Woolworths or Woolco back in the 60s and 50s. And that was just part of the ornamentation. I'm not sure where the entire backstory that there's an elf. He's going to move around every night to check and make sure you're not doing anything wrong. I don't know where that came from. But, again, Christmas turns into a morality play. Thank you.
That's right.
You know?
As evidenced in Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Exactly.
It all comes together.
It all. The Spanish one movie, Santa Claus, not to be... Oh, okay. All right, yeah. There's Santa Claus, and that one is Santa Claus, and it's also dubbed as Santa Claus versus the Devil, or Santa Claus versus Satan, or something like that.
The Mexican film,
that one's Spanish.
Yeah.
And I, for some reason, I thought the same people that made that one made Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. I could be wrong.
Who knows?
Well, maybe I am wrong.
It's likely. Do you remember?
Yeah, it's likely.
Remember John Saxon?
Yes.
Actor?
Yeah, he was in The Bionic Man. I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
He seemed to be like the next John Agar to me at that time. And he was in a movie that is also very, very memorable. I saw him on Superhost, and I saw it on a couple other places. But Queen of Blood.
The Queen of Blood?
Yeah, from 1966. I remember that film, and it had the Green Lady. Not like the crazy lady from Lost in Space. Ooh, Smith. No, not that one. No,
what was it called? The Queen Blood Lady? What?
Queen of Blood. And
the Queen of Blood. I think I've seen this one, but it's called something. Oh, there it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. John Saxon. It's a space trip where they find this lady floating, and they go, "We need to help her," and then she ends up being a vampire. Yeah, there she is.
Yes.
She's a vampire.
Yes. That one I found very scary as a youth, too. I don't know why. Maybe it was just the scene of her with the bloody wrists or something with the green blood.
That was wow.
Yeah, it was a fun
film.
They
picked her up from Mars. She was the only one there, and they picked her up. It's like, yeah.
No, actually, they were contacted by folks from Mars or whatever. Basil Rathbone's in it too, by the way. Very elderly at that point. Dennis Hopper's very young.
He was on the speakerphone on Earth, right?
Yes. Yeah, and Dennis Hopper is a very young astronaut in that film.
Right. Oh, everybody was. Yeah, there it is, Hopper. Yep.
Yeah, one of his early works that he's so proud of.
Mm-hmm. wow. Yep. Let's see.
And speaking of John Agar, he was in Women of the Prehistoric Planet.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Another gem.
Right.
60s. And he was in A Monster Coming Here one, Zontar the Thing from Venus, the Larry Buchanan remake of the old Corman film, The Day the World Ended.
Mm-hmm. There was one about this thing, I can't remember if that's from the 60s or not. It was black and white. But
Hold on, we got another caller, Gar. While
another
you're thinking
caller.
That over. Hey, all another right. caller. Welcome to Erie
hey.
House Radio.
Hi, y'all.
Hello, Dadder.
Is this the movie man?
Nope.
Who is this?
Is this Susie Q? It is Susie Q.
It's 66, isn't it? Yeah, 66.
This is Susie Q, I think, who is a fan of Gar the Ghoul's Horrible Horror, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, there we go. Wow. I pinned the tail on the donkey first try. Wow.
Penny, I'm a fan of anybody that's got the balls to put themselves out there like that. I am. Good show, bad show. I love you all.
Yeah.
Oh, the neighbor's home.
We do our worst to do the best, or we do the best to do the worst. I don't know how it works.
Some of the worst is the best.
There you go. I do my best to bring you the worst. Yeah, there we go. All right.
The worst.
The worst. The tractor beam has been activated.
Right, yes.
So they've still got you locked out, Dale?
I can hear the neighbor's car.
Got plates that say Jupiter, too. I don't know.
Yeah, it does. That was another thing I wanted to bring up, but I want to see what Tuesday Q has going on.
I'm here to hear you people. What are we talking about? Christmas horror?
We're talking go ahead.
You know, with the passing of John Glenn, 66, we were talking about how NASA and the space program influenced the science fiction films in the 1960s.
Oh, my God, yeah. But have you seen that one Frasier episode where John Glenn's on there? And they start arguing off camera, and then no one's listening to him, and he starts talking about how he saw stuff out there that Close Encounters, and he goes, they got it pretty close, and stuff like that. No one hears him. It was a great piece. It really was a great bit.
Another weirdo, crazy thing about space films in general, but we can, because you said Lost in Space or something, was somehow we get, as viewers, we get enamored with the robot that's in the film, and then if something happens to the film, it's like an animal dying. We go, oh!
Yeah.
You know, there was a Russian film where these guys go to, I want to say Mars, but I can't remember.
Solaris? Was it Solaris?
It could have been. And it's a Russian film where these guys go to a planet, and they have their, they talk very, very fondly of their mechanical man, and he talks back to them, hi, how are you, Bob, or something, whatever, you know. They're on a very volatile planet. Something's happening, I can't remember what, but at some point in time, the planet starts erupting and stuff, and they have to cross a lava flow. And the only way that they're going to get across the lava flow is, let's jump on the robot and have him walk us across. And the robot doesn't make it. And we're like, oh.
Sacrifice him, yeah.
Yeah, they said, we always loved Bob. Or whatever it was.
You
know, like,
when you watch those movies and you can see 100,000 people get wiped out, and but if they kill a dog.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
I know, yeah.
That could be a whole other show right there.
Yeah. PETA attack science fiction. Yeah, there you go.
That's so true, though. Why is it when the little puppy gets hurt and you think it's dead or something, that is so much sadder than 10,000 people getting wiped out by Godzilla?
Absolutely. People are turds usually. I'm sorry, but...
That's because those 10,000 peoples, all those peoples are, you know, they're not good people.
They're expendable.
Oh,
they're expendable. The dog is not.
Yeah. Yeah, the dog, hey, you know. Hey, that's Lassie right there. That's Tippy the dog. You can't be killing the dogs.
Rin Tin Tin Benji L Road 1.
Exactly. You know, what are they doing?
Like to welcome Mr. Nero to the chat, who's listening live with us, along with 66 and a half and Gar the Ghoul.
And Gar the Ghoul. I'm in there somewhere.
Who
Mr.
is?
Nero. All right. So, so we got robots that we fondly fall in love with, like the B9 robot or the robot
Robbie,
from...
Robbie that was making the booze for the dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Robbie.
That guy.
And no hangover. I got to get some of that.
Yeah, there you go. No, Robbie was very iconic. He appeared in not only in the 50s, but also throughout the 60s.
I think he showed up on I Dream of Jeannie. He was on The Monkees. He was on Lost in Space. I think there was a Bonanza episode he showed up in. He had a cowboy hat. He was everywhere.
I think they've been taking him in Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. If I'm not mistaken, I think he was on that, too. The monsters were pretty interchangeable with Lost in Space.
He was in Get Smart. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, Get Smart. Might have been. They had Jaime, but he would have
been.
Yeah,
they had Jaime. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. I liked Jaime.
You know, Mr. Nero says he's here looking for dirt on John Glenn besides the savings and loans scandal. Oh, gosh.
Stop it.
I understood John Glenn's hands were rather well manicured. I don't know about dirt, but okay.
Yeah, but he was like the one astronaut when you were a little kid that you knew the name of. You know,
yeah.
When you were small, everybody
knew
John Glenn.
Yeah, he had two first names, you know. Right?
Well, Neil Armstrong,
you know,
too. Neil Armstrong,
well, that was
too,
later,
I think.
Once he stepped on the moon, but this was before that. I'm talking about, you know. My younger days back, you know, in Bedrock.
Well,
dude
was a pioneer. You know, we were in a space race with the then Soviet Union.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and
they set up Sputnik. We had to top them.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah. Got to.
And seriously, just because you can't go back and change what's first done. They did it. They beat us. Yeah, we did the moon thing, but they beat us. They really did.
Yeah,
but.
I think they killed more dogs and monkeys than us too. But.
They did, and I don't sleep at night for that one. I really.
I know. I think about them every once in a while, just out there floating in the void, you know, frozen. Just
Chippy.
No. Here we go again. Cuddles the chimp.
Fluffy, no.
No.
So a penguin goes to a garage. No, I won't tell it.
It was a midget nun. I hate to tell you. I don't want to ruin your joke.
It was a midget nun.
The only penguin joke I know says the joke ends with, no, it's just mayonnaise. But, you know.
That's the one. That penguin goes into a mechanic shop. And he goes, hey, Mr. Mechanic, there's something wrong with my car. Can you look at it? And the mechanic goes, shh.
Sure, kid. I'll check it out in just a minute. But tell you what, it's going to take me a while. Why don't you walk across the street? Right across the street, there's the best ice cream parlor in the entire world. Just go over there. You get you an ice cream, and when you come back, we'll have looked at your card, and I can tell you what's wrong with it.
So the penguin goes across the street, and he goes, hey, well, hi, I'm a penguin. I'd like some ice cream. What kind of ice cream do you want?
I'd like some vanilla ice cream.
And so he gets some vanilla ice cream. But of course, you know, penguins just have flippers. They don't have thumbs. So he like gets the vanilla ice cream all over his flipper and his nose and all over his face. So anyway, he's like, that was the greatest ice cream I've ever had. And so then he walks across the street and goes, hey, Mr. Mechanic, did you find out what's going on with my car? And the mechanic, he's bent down over to his chassis. He's got his head down in there and he doesn't look up and he says,
yeah, it looks like you've blown a seal.
And the penguin replies, oh, no, that's just ice cream.
That tree.
You know,
and that's
the other thing about
the 60s.
I think there was a lot of LSD use in the 60s. Just saying. Oh, that was a great story. Thank you.
Well, there you go. That's the caliber of humor you can get used to if you come look at the horrible horror.
Yeah.
I've watched Dale's show. I'm already used to it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
She's been inoculated. Intoxicated? Yes.
Inarculated.
Ingarulated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, getting back to space movies.
Yeah, when you were a kid, did you ever, like, imagine yourself flying in space in any of these kind of ships or stuff like that?
Well, we had all the toys for space, so yeah, you were like constantly. We had rockets, G.I. Joe toys.
Yeah.
They had the Apollo capsule, and it was like three feet tall. It was huge.
Yeah, well, it had to fit G.I. Joe. Was a pretty big guy.
Yeah, and G.I. Joe was a 12-inch guy, so yeah.
Well, he was a foot tall anyway.
Right. Well, yeah, that's the way to go. All right, so you know, there's two ways to go. You can go. There you go. All right, so that's both of them together. Did I mess up your show? I hope not. I'm not trying.
Not
to.
A bit.
Okay,
a bit.
Good. Let's move on. So anyway, G.I. Joe had all these accessories for being on the moon as well as being in the Sahara Desert. And so we had all those, and it was just an amazing, like, wow.
Yeah.
And I mentioned before
Major Matt
some of the
Mason.
Other ones.
Yeah, Major Matt Mason toys.
Action Jackson was a diminutive G.I. Joe.
I believe, I'm not sure on this, and maybe you could help us, 66. Did not Barbie also have a space capsule or something? Or a space suit?
I never had Barbies, so I couldn't help you. I was a tomboy. I'm sorry.
Okay.
She was kicking dirt into the girls that had Barbies. Get out of here, you.
I was. Oh, I
didn't you have any friends, for Christ's sake?
I think she had a little car and a house or something. But I really don't remember space capsule, but these girls weren't nerdy minded. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah,
you
they
know,
were all.
I was more. If I would have had a Barbie, it would have had a space capsule had there been one, if I'd have had a Barbie. Okay. But
yeah.
I did not. So.
Put her in space.
I used to have my
Captain
sister's
Action
Barbie,
had...
you know. She hooked up with G.I. Joe's with a foot tall one. Yeah, it did. They did some things. But that was in a whole different, you know, type vibe.
Back when neither one was anatomically correct. So
no,
are they now?
There's where your imagination came in.
Are they now?
I don't know, are they?
There you go. All right. Anyway, back to space.
Do you remember a very funny film from the early 60s with Jerry Lewis called Visit to a Small Planet?
Planet, yep.
I remember Jerry Lewis showing up and being like a Martian or something.
Yeah, and that was the movie.
That was the one.
He was observing
Earthlings.
Apparently,
I just don't know the titles. You know, you meant Jerry Lewis. Well, there's that one. He's like, no, that was it, Gar. He's like, oh, okay.
That's the one. And,
actually,
He was very much like Mork from Mork and Mindy in that film, I think.
Yeah. Or Ray Walston, you know, the man from Uncle. No,
my
the
favorite
Martian.
Martian.
Yeah, that guy.
My favorite Martian.
I love that show.
Well, you know, the space program did influence television, too. You mentioned I Dream of Jeannie earlier.
Right.
You know,
there it was.
He was they were astronauts. Because he found the bottle floating or something when he crashed. Down in the capsule or something.
Yeah, after his splashdown, he found the little bottle with Jeannie in it.
And I just thought he was a wino, but no, there was a woman in there.
He got so drunk he went to Dallas, but you know.
That's right. And died, and someone shot him in his left tuchus. I don't know.
You gotta say though, the bot had cheap rent. I mean, come on, you didn't have to keep her in a high class apartment house or nothing.
Oh no, she was better than Barbie.
And she could pop things up. I mean, besides him.
A space program influenced television show is very short lived, but they're showing it lately on Sunday mornings, no less, on Antenna TV, is the reruns of the old show, The Sherwood Schwartz Show. It's About Time.
That was one that you, yeah, you told me that about.
Oh.
The, yeah.
It's About Time. It's About Space.
About Space, yep, that one.
Yeah, and if you watch the show, a lot of the music was reused later in Gilligan's Island.
Yeah. But do you remember the The Invaders?
I love The Invaders. A lot of people didn't like The Invaders, but
with Roy Thinnes.
With Roy Thinnes.
That was
Popped up on the X-Files. He was the guy that was curing people. Turned out to be one of the hybrids or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Man, they really had to go digging to find that guy again.
they found him.
They found him. No, it was just, it was wild because they had that great visual effect that none of the aliens would ever leave any evidence because they turned red or green or blue or...
And flash bright red and then it would disappear,
Yeah.
Yeah. They were vaporized, man.
They if you hit them or beat them up or shot them or you know, clip their toenails or something, they'd fall apart. And what was the tell? Do you remember the tell for an alien back in that show? they held their pinky funny, I think. Wasn't it? They held their pinky
with
funny.
With their hands, though. Yeah.
It was like, wait, are you an alien or is there just something wrong with your pinky?
I ain't messing up just holding my teeth, honey. You know how they hold your pinky up?
And
I got shot.
They could have just
vaporized.
They could have said, oh, no, governor, it's tea time. I hold my pinky like that all the time.
Really?
But.
A lot of the Japanese
films,
I think a lot of the Japanese films started showing more space travel, too. And, I mean, you had Gamera flying through space in some of the later films.
There were a bunch of. Protector films.
Got past
where
our H-bomb craze, because after we bombed them, they did a lot of atomic bomb type, that type.
Johnny Sacco and his flying robot.
they had those committees, those universal committees, way far away from Earth that said we have to send an emissary to Earth, and they would send
Ultraman.
Some guy in overly tight spandex.
Yes.
You could tell his religion from his costume. and he would fly. And the curious thing is he would always interact with young children. It was a very confusing film.
In that outfit. I know. You wonder. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, ooh, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was nothing anatomically incorrect with that guy. Good grief. You know, it's like, anyway.
Yeah, but they would prance around, and then you'd wonder.
So, you're a sissy, hmm?
That's right. and they had that claw. They had the most amazing monsters that would take him on. One was this, it had fangs and weird crazy eyes and long claws, and if he touched you, it would even kill the spaceman. So I can't remember what he somehow beat him into submission and he blew up or something. But they had crazy, wonderful monsters in some of the Japanese programs or movies that they brought over. Okay, there we are.
Pretty cool.
The Prince of Space.
That was a
must-see
for us was Ultraman. You remember Ultraman? Oh, he's
been
too long. Blink, blink, blink. You know, and his little things start blinking. He had to fly away to the sun again, come back and fight.
Yep. Yeah, it was solar powered.
that was another space hero because he came from the stars. That was crazy.
Oh gosh, the Movie Man reminds us that. The Prince of Space films from Japan.
That was the
one
I was talking about the guy with the too tight, his clothing was a little
outfit.
Severe.
Yeah.
A little severe? Yeah. Yeah, there were multiple installments of that.
He had a sock.
In other words, you could read the pimples on his butt like Braille.
Mm-hmm. Okay. From a distance. In 16 millimeter even. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
So, wow.
Wow.
But yeah, there was that series. There was another one called what was that guy's name?
Starman.
The Golden Skull, I think.
What?
And he was another Japanese. It was a Japanese thing, and I thought he was from space too. I have to dig that one up. Something caught my head about that one. Being in, I have shown many a Japanese film in my day, and that was one. And again, with the children and the little shorts and whatever. I don't know what they got going on with shorts over there, but a lot of the youngins, those shorts, man. It's like,
yeah.
But anyway, so let's see what
how
else.
About from 19. How about from 1967? Do you remember this one? It was a sort of a comedy with Terry Thomas and Burl Ives. It was called Those Fantastic Flying Fools. It was also released as Jules Verne's Rocket to the Moon. Remember
Rocket
that
to
one?
The Moon.
It's a British film.
Hmm.
Burl Ives and Terry Thomas, who I love him, his British humor.
Burl Ives. Whoa.
I've only seen it once, and it was way back in the, I want to say the early 70s, so it was probably just recently released to television. It wasn't, you know, any kind of a money maker or anything like that.
Probably, yeah, one of the small ones just kind of slipped by.
And how could we forget Barbarella from 1968?
There you go. They got that one on Netflix.
That wasn't... Of all the space movies that I've seen, that one seems like the less spaciest of movies ever. in my opinion.
It dealt with inner space.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Sure.
A trip to Uranus.
Oh, God. You know, it's
yeah.
funny, there was a film called, I think it's from the 50s, what was it, Trip to the Seventh Planet or something like that. It's Uranus.
I wonder what their first title was.
Yeah.
We better that's one that. Drawback. That's one drawback from ever doing a live show and playing a space movie is you get Uranus jokes for 2.5 hours until everybody, is it out of your system, people? Blah, blah.
Yeah.
All right. You know?
It
and then on the third hour, someone goes, did someone tell the Uranus joke yet? And it's like, we told it. It's enough.
We told all of them.
Everyone. Yeah. There's none left. That's it.
they had to question their title and say, yeah, we better stick with Seventh Planet.
Yeah, well, there are a few Uranus movies out there, unfortunately.
You know they're pronouncing it Uranus now.
Uranus.
Maybe because of all the butt jokes. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I think what they ought to do
like
is...
It sounds like
and then Pluto gets demoted. It's not a planet anymore. It's a planetoid.
It's, yeah. Some little something. A mini-me.
Why can't
It'll
we do this?
It'll always be a planet. It'll always be a planet in my heart.
Here too, brother. Here too. Here. So why don't we do this? We leave the planet Uranus spelled that way, but we say it's pronounced Blickelsmottensnitten, and then
yes.
we don't have any more of those jokes
forget.
Anymore.
Yes.
You know?
And that's exactly what happened.
That's exactly
you haven't
what
heard any of my Blickelsmottensnitten jokes, though.
That's
yeah.
right.
Oy.
The other day when I was on my way to Blickelsmottensnitten, and I have no joke for that because I'm not talking about anything. So yeah.
Sounds like something Mel Brooks would have said.
When is that? Wait, there's one called Mars Needs Women. That's another
yes.
thing about these movies. Lots of these space movies, they're people from other places, and they need our women. They need our women. What are they doing with their women over there? Because
well, they're
constantly
women from Mars.
Do
though?
I have to draw
so
you a picture?
Do you?
Or
no. Are
they on the moon?
But it's like okay, yeah. There was some where we went and there were women there. That's
what do
right.
What think they're doing with them?
Why are they coming and taking our women? see that. They have women. Why are they? What's the deal? You know, it's like, you know, they want women that don't have tails or something. What's wrong with these people? Leave us alone.
It's some kinky space thing. I don't know.
Have boobs. Yeah. Have boobs.
Yeah. Right. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of them. So we've got people, we have beings coming here that don't have fingers and don't have hands, and if their ship breaks, they need us to put it back together. I never understood that. I question that.
What about, like, the ones in the M. Shamalamala or whatever? You can pilot across space, but you can't open the pantry door?
Right.
I don't understand that.
How did they build the pantry door in the first place?
Yes, right.
You know?
It's just a
little teeny bit of logic. We love our films. We know they're bad. But just a little bit of thought, please.
Yeah,
don't
blow my mind up. You know, really. Because I got to start picking a thread and then I'll never stop. I start picking them. So.
Yeah. You know,
just don't make it so obvious.
Oh, there was something, and this is more taking science and trying to move it back. They never thought of this, I don't think. Now I'm thinking. Well, maybe in Lost in Space there were a few incidents where the space vehicle that they're traveling from point A to point B, they take us on the trip with them. And they get, like, a meteorite puncture. And so you see this, you know, that you see all the air escaping or gas or something.
Yeah, space gas.
Or they have to plug it up. That's their atmosphere leaving the ship. They're in trouble.
Yes.
Was Star Trek, when they came up with it was the one called just Enterprise. It wasn't called Star Trek. It was just called Enterprise. One of the first things they talked about was we're moving through space so fast that a piece of dust could penetrate the hull and kill us. And it's like, wow, you guys are doing some dangerous stuff. Yet these are concerns. We're thinking about going to Mars now or something, or I don't know. I'm watching the TV show. It's really good there. I don't know if, you know, in my lifetime we'll make it.
It's been real quiet now. I think they've privatized the space program, but I just can't get over how, again, the films of that era were influenced. I mean, I think it was a natural thing because the audience also became tougher. Like you mentioned, Gar, where's the realism? I think filmmakers were forced to create that realism, and that's thankfully Douglas Trumbull, a great special effects artist, started putting together great movies like 2001: A Space Odyssey, the effects for them, 2001: A Space Odyssey. Do you remember the film? Now, this is not a 60s film, but an early 70s film called Silent Running with Bruce Dern.
I love that movie. Yeah, where
me too.
Trying to save the gardens, the trees.
Yeah. Okay. I know it now. Yeah.
Oh gosh, that's such a great film, and the effects
were fantastic.
He was
an underrated actor,
yes.
In all of yeah. Just I love.
Well, everybody hated him when he shot John Wayne. I mean, seriously, he was hated for. He got hate mail and all kinds of stuff until he did that movie. Until you saw another side of him, you know.
If you're hating on Bruce Dern, then you can always watch what was it? I think it's Hang 'Em High with Clint Eastwood. One of those where he kicks the living crap out of Bruce Dern and drags him all over the desert.
Well, the kids get him in the Cowboys too. You know, he gets his comeuppance in that one.
Or you could watch him get his in the Outer Limits, the Xanti Misfits. He's in that film too, or in that. Episode.
He was curiously saturated in everything.
Lived in Hush Hush Sweet Charlotte. He's the boyfriend that got whacked.
I think he was Robbie the Robot's co-star in that Bonanza episode I was talking about. Maybe.
Wow.
We had the little swords on the Silent Running one. Remember, one got stacked and we all cried on that one. I did.
Yeah.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie, remember?
Yeah, those robots were great.
One thing, it didn't take us long to understand the complexity of computers in these science fiction films of the 60s.
Yeah.
All you needed was some magnetic tape reels moving and blinking lights. That was all we needed to know you were going to get there okay. You know?
That was your computer.
And now a cell phone has more capacity than the Apollo 1 entire spaceship did.
But remember when they had a whole giant room and it was one computer?
Yeah, the UNIVAC.
All those machines. Yeah. And, you know,
the UNIVAC.
And you could do, like you said, you could do more with your cell phone than they could do with that thing.
Yeah. You know.
Well, that's funny, and that's a whole other show there, too, is how science
technology
and like the gadgetry in Star Trek, how we see that in everyday life. Go into
you
a
do.
Grocery store, and there's your doors.
Yeah, there's your door.
The Jetsons. You can see it on the Jetsons. They had a blanket on the bed with the cardiac monitor bouncing behind them and stuff,
right?
And on the treadmills and all that stuff. There's so much in there.
There it goes. George.
Ruh-roh, Rorge.
Ruh-roh, Rorge. right?
Give me back my wallet, bitch. You ain't taking my money. No.
Right. The thing about Star Trek that was so great, again, you want to talk morality plays, Roddenberry actually engineered that to be a huge morality play and a play on an opportunity for us to see society from a different vantage point. And that's how he got away with doing all the great things he did on that program. And what's curious is you take all the inventions and stuff that Roddenberry did. Again, very close with NASA in what they were doing, and he brought that into his program, but also the advances that he came up with. Every last one of them, right down the line, is coming true. You know, eventually, humanity as a one needs to come together, and then we can become a federation, and then we can go someplace and do something.
You know? And if there's a moral to this radio show, I think we discovered that life reflects art, but art also reflects life.
Right, yeah.
Especially when it comes to sci-fi. Ooh, deep, huh?
It is. It is. And I think that's where they were pushing for the realism to pop in. Not every one of them. Not every one of them had that, but some did. Wow, there are so many and the list of science fiction films from outer space are just wow. There's Abbott and Costello. The Three Stooges went there.
The Stooges went to Mars.
Yeah, they went there. You got just all kinds of different ones.
You had a couple
Catwoman
Three Stooges
of
outer space movies. In the 60s.
Well, the X-Files was alien-based. I mean, basically, he had all these other kind of boogeymen running around, but it always came back around to the abductions and the half-breeds and the hybrids, you know.
Yeah.
There's also apparently atmosphere out in outer space. We haven't found it yet, but in many of these films, there's atmosphere. Was it the Catwomen of the Moon where they landed, they walked 15 feet, they went into a cave, and they could breathe? Or is that another one?
Yeah.
Was that
it
a different
one?
That
one? It could have been another.
Or Fire Women
Robinson
from
Crusoe on Mars.
Yeah. They had the moon has atmosphere. Apparently, we didn't know this.
Cave.
All of these different places. In order to make it easier to,
Mars is sort of okay to breathe.
Yeah.
With about a minute to go, do you guys want to hang around for a little while longer for the bonus time?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Want to thank our listening audience, our live listening audience, Dumb Movie Man, Guest 364, Space Pirate, and Mr. Nero, who stopped by. Thank you all for listening live and participating in the chat.
Here's a film I don't know, but I'm going to have to see it. The Incredible Two-Headed Transplant. And
that's a good one.
I heard
one
about the man with two heads. But that was Rosie Greer and some other guy. But
you think about Ray Milland and Rosie Greer? That one, and then there's another one that's...
Hey, while we're talking about heroes, does anybody... we'll talk about it in the after party. Thanks, folks, for listening live. And folks in the archive, hang on. We got a little bit more coming at you on Erie House Radio.
Bump-a-dee-bump-bump-bump-bump-bump.
We are now in the afterbirth party, or after time.
So you were saying something about what?
I have
no
idea.
Do we have any superheroes or something, or what?
I saw that Will Smith movie, Afterbirth. It was terrible.
Will Smith, that one. I'm sorry.
No, we were talking about Ray Milland, I think, and Rosie Greer.
Oh, you said Afterbirth. I thought you meant that movie with Will Smith.
So speaking of Rosie Greer, does anybody know what? No, what I wanted to bring up was Rosie Greer in the Two-Headed Man. Do you know what historical event Rosie Greer was part of in the 60s?
The Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, when Bobby Kennedy was assassinated, Rosie Greer was his bodyguard, and he wrestled Sirhan to the ground.
He tackled him, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, Gar has learned something. I thought I knew most of that stuff, but nope. Okay.
Yeah, he was a lineman for the L.A. Rams, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
So if he was just a little bit faster, everything would have changed. It would have been like the Planet of the Apes. Everything you know is gone. You know?
I don't know that anybody could have.
You don't think Robbie would have got the nomination or whatever he was getting there?
Yeah, I don't know, but. I just love those films from the 60s. I grew up with them. Very fond memories, like I said, of Queen of Blood, Frankenstein meets the Space Monster.
Queen of Blood was the one where the broad was laying eggs, wasn't it? The John Saxon?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I love that one. It's got such a lurid vibe to it, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, she had such a crazy pallor to her skin, and it was just like, wow.
What was the film, you help me on this, 66, where Zsa Zsa Gabor was was an alien? That could have been from the 50s.
No, I remember that film. It was horrible.
Was it the Catwomen from the Moon or something? Was it
No. It was something of Venus, maybe?
Fire Maidens of Venus.
No, that wasn't it.
It was something from Venus. I thought it was the Women from the Moon or the Mars or something.
All right.
But I remember Zsa Zsa in one of them.
Okay, I'm going to get to the bottom of this right now.
I'm racing over to IMDb as we speak.
I am. Touch of Evil, Queen of Outer Space. That's it.
That's the one.
There you go.
And she was Talua.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Forrey Ackerman. Made an appearance in that film. But I'm not seeing him in the credits. It might be an uncredited.
I think he did. I saw him the other night, and I can't remember what movie it was now.
Yeah.
He was very old, and he popped on it just for a minute. I go, how does Uncle Forrey?
Was it The Time Travelers? Because he was in that one.
Oh,
yeah,
God, I can't remember. It was some schlocky thing I was watching.
Here's one from 1969. It's called a science fiction comedy. I don't see where it
yeah.
looks like it's from Russia. It's called I Killed Einstein, Gentlemen.
Okay.
And
I want to see it.
Here's one of the things. It was from 1969.
Go ahead and read the names. Read the actors' names. We'll wait.
Zabil Jassim Einsteinin. No, I can't. Czechoslovakian. It's a Czechoslovakian film. By director Ulrich Lipsky. The film starred Jiří Solbak and John Abrakfajova and Lubomír Lipsky and but anyway, it became known for the scene showing the first selfie stick in 1969.
Selfie stick?
Apparently they took it. Yeah.
Have you guys seen that one, For the Love of Spock?
I didn't know it was out yet.
Yeah,
it was a documentary made by his son.
His son, yeah.
Yeah. That
no kidding.
Yep.
Have not seen it.
It's good. It's on Netflix if you have Netflix. Monster.
Oh, I'll have to check it out.
The Mad Doctor of Blood Island. Now, that just sounds great. Night of the Bloody Apes. Wow. Okay, great stuff.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Did you watch it? It was on Mad Ron's previews. That's on Netflix, too. They have the guy's stick that does the inserts. It's not that great, but the trailers are great.
Oh, some of the trailers. You don't even need the movie. You just watch the trailer and you're – all
oh,
right, there you
I
go.
I love trailers. And these are all the good ones, like Last House on the Left, you know, and those old ones like that, that one you just mentioned.
Right.
I love trailers too, but I wouldn't want to live in one.
No. Not, and especially not in Florida, because God doesn't like trailers in Florida.
I was going to say, yeah, hurricanes love them, don't they? And so do tornadoes.
Yeah.
Oh, they,
he doesn't love them any more than he loves trailers in Oklahoma.
It's their favorite food.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah. Their favorite
food. Robin, yeah, Robinson Crusoe on Mars. The Last Man on Earth.
That's on there, too.
That was a weird one. The Last Man on Earth. We don't know where. It never said where the infection came from, but was it a space virus that killed all of them?
No, it never really says that. It was some kind of illness, but he had a vaccine for it. Is what it was. Why he's still here?
Mm-mm.
He was the one.
No, he was just a mutant.
He was trying to create a vaccine. And he had an immunity.
From his own blood, but he, in I don't know if it was in the book or if it's from the first movie, Little Mega Man, I can't remember, where he was, you know, he injected himself with something. But in the book, I don't think that was it. I think he had a natural immunity.
He did, and I think Vincent Price did, as did Will Smith in the one that finally used the title of the book.
That one, though, God, I kept waiting for it to finally start, and it was over. I went, oh, what? Oh. Like, oh. Usually his movies can't get over soon enough, but, you know, that one.
Yeah.
Okay. While you were talking, I was trying to look something up, and I found it. There's one called Planeta Burr. Planeta Burr is a Russian film from 1962. Soviet science fiction film. And let's see. It's also called Planet of the Storms, Planet of the Tempest.
There's no Solaris?
No, Storm Planets. And the synopsis is three Soviet spaceships, the Cirrus, the Vega, and the Capella, are on their way to Venus. And the Capella is struck by a meteorite, destroyed. There's only two ships left. They continue
Nina,
on.
The Pinta and the Santa Maria?
Yeah,
Maria.
There you go. See, it's all, yeah. And so I was talking
Vega?
About the robot, and it says on here, once on dry land, the Cirrus crew contact their robot, John. The robot, the Soviet's robot name is John. What a Soviet
friend of
name.
Bob, obviously.
So, dude, is this the one where they're riding around in this little vehicle and it looks like a Pacer from AMC?
Yes. Yeah, and they go underwater.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw that whole thing.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
an hour and a half you'll never get back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I like
yeah, so we all mourn the passing of John, the robot.
Yeah. Brother
yeah,
of Bob.
He was the most talented actor in the movie.
He melted in a lava stream. Trying to get the other two guys to the other side of the
lava
stream.
The film you were thinking of, yes.
Yeah, that was it. This is the one. I found it.
It's not Planet Bob, it's John.
Burr. Oh, Planet Burr. Forever Planet
Day
Burr.
Day of the Triffids. You remember Day of the Triffids? That's
yeah, that was spooky.
Yeah, no, that was a space like they floated in on the solar winds, kind of like the Body Snatchers, you know. But
yeah, the Body Snatchers.
As I remember in the movie,
that's another outer space.
The hero had some kind of problem with his eyes, and he had his eyes taped up.
He was
meanwhile,
in the hospital.
The rest of humanity
had,
was watching what was supposed
surgery.
To be a meteor shower, and the meteor
blinded
shower
them.
Blinded everyone.
All but the convicts that were down in the cells. They
yeah.
got out and was partying.
Yep, I remember that too. But then the
now,
guy
is that
from
the book or from the film?
From
because
the film.
I thought it was the plants would strike out and nail you in the eye sockets with this mucus stuff and you go blind.
No, the they were blinded by the meteor shower. They had a stinger.
They sprayed that stuff in that old man's face, though, and killed him. Some kind of, it was like a pollen, you know.
Yeah.
But that was something different. The people went blind from watching the meteor shower.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, folks, don't be watching these meteor showers. It's not good.
Okay, Journey to the Seventh Planet. That was with John Agar.
Oh, okay.
So that makes sense.
There are so many of these. So many. Yeah,
that's
the only
where
thing,
his career pretty much went, wasn't it? Journey to Uranus?
Again with Blippin' Sport? Yeah, again?
Again with this?
That planet? I'm sorry, but he belonged in that.
It's Uranus now.
Uranus.
I'm sticking with Blippin' Sport.
Blitzin', Sploitin', Flirtin'.
Blippin' Sploit.
That's
right. I need a roll of toilet paper for the Blippin' Sportin'. Okay, there you go.
You sound like Mel Brooks, I swear.
Yeah.
They did have cool toys that were inspired by NASA, too. I remember in 1969 when Apollo, 11, you know, they were getting ready to land on the moon, and like a day or two before, my mother buys a loaf of Wonder Bread. And inside, they had this thing. It was intricate. It was only cardboard. You know what I mean? Little stiff paper that you had to punch out and fold and blah blah blah. And it made the lunar lander finally, but it took me hours. My mother must have been so happy. This will shut him up. Here, go, kid.
Yeah. Origami for Americans.
Yeah.
It was
cool. It was a promotion in the bread, you know. Hey,
yeah.
Fun time.
Oh, they were kicking. If it had space thing, you got them everywhere. I'm surprised Cracker Jack didn't have like space tattoos or something, you know.
Oh yeah, well you remember Quisp? It was a space.
That
yeah,
was about
Quisp
say,
and Quake.
Quispy,
that's right.
Yeah.
And it always reminded me of the two little aliens on Bullwinkle and Rocky.
It was the same. It was John Ward's. J. Ward is his artwork, I think.
Yeah.
Here's another film from 1967, called The Terror Knots. And on the movie poster, it says, "The virgin sacrificed to the gods of a ghastly galaxy." And it's got a woman, again, stealing our women, about to be sacrificed by a green alien guy with a big knife. The Terror Knots.
Okay.
Wow. And it doesn't have a small synopsis. It has this big, huge, I need to read a novel synopsis, so I have to get into it. But, yeah. It's like, here's the synopsis. Hey, people, do you know what the word synopsis means? Because that's not a synopsis. That's like,
let me
you know.
Cut to the chase, bud. Yeah, we want the
yeah.
notes.
This is printing it and going to the reading room or something. I mean, oh, buddy.
I didn't
want
the script, dude.
Yeah, it's a script.
And who could forget 1966's The Navy versus the Night Monster.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Were those from outer space? They were like moving trees or something, right?
Yeah, a group of scientists with Operation Deep Freeze discovered frozen prehistoric trees and other specimens
in
the Antarctic.
Well, what about the thing, guys? What about the thing?
Thing
from another world. And then the thing.
The Navy versus the Sea Monsters. The female lead was what? And she's famous for two things. What was her name?
Mimi Van Doren.
She's famous for two things, right?
Yeah, left one and
yeah.
the right one.
Yeah. Same thing Jane Russell was famous for. Same two things, right?
Right, exactly. Here we go. There you go. All right. I remember. See, I can catch some of the names of these and go, oh, that one, yeah. What was the name of that lady? Because, man, costuming got her sweaters way too small. I don't know what's going on.
Monster sex and rock and roll.
There you go.
Who was that?
I don't know. It wasn't me. And it wasn't that penguin. Hey, Mr. Mechanic. It wasn't him either. I don't know what that was.
I don't know. It was quite the story.
Yeah. So, yeah, I hope I didn't
wear
out my welcome with that one, but
it's just ice cream.
Not sophisticated enough to get it, no harm done. If you are, no
there you
harm
go.
Done.
There you go.
That's
Oh, no, it's
that's
just
an innuendo. Like an Italian suppository. It goes in innuendo.
There you go.
Innuendo.
It is innuendo. Hey.
And we're back to the seventh planet again.
Yeah. Flight to Mars, 1951. There you go. There's another one. Who's in that one? Nobody I know.
I don't know. That was pre, you know, NASA stuff, but a good movie.
Oh, it's 51, not 61.
Plan 9 from outer space.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. Hell no.
Stupid.
Martian
Dungeon. Tiny minds.
Wow.
Yeah.
They were good films, though. They were fun and, again,
I wish I could remember that crazy one that I just saw a few weeks ago. I'll have to dig it up later.
Harumph.
Gar the Ghoul is stumped again. It was a very weird film. It was just a very weird film. But it was in the 60s, and they had to go. They would send a spaceship to the station, and the station would fuel them up, and then from there they'd go out into space to where they had to go, this planet, and they were chasing a professor who was crazy, who'd set off a bomb, and I don't know, it was really weird. It was really...
Was it the one that had the meteors look like floating Rice Krispies?
Oh, did it?
Right.
That's a good one. I can't remember.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't remember. I forgot. I'm on a mobile phone. I could walk into the other room.
There you go.
Maybe I can find it. Well, the computer's still on.
It sounds like a sound effect, huh?
Yes. All right, let's see. You know, nope, that ain't going to work.
No.
Okay.
It's my donkey. Sorry.
Make me a sausage, Jack. Food.
Make me a sausage, bring me booze.
Wow.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Yeah, you are.
Don't want
where,
no mo.
Where is that thing? Oh, maybe it's there. I saw one called Embryo from 1976 with Rock Hudson. That was a really strange film.
It was more like a science fiction, but not space.
Yeah, that one.
Who can forget John Carradine in the Astro Zombies?
Oh yeah,
Astro Zombies. Yeah,
he phoned that in. It was really bad.
Oh, what's the one? Oh, I love it. The one with the little man and they inject you with alcohol. Frank Gorshin was in it.
Frank Gorshin.
No Martians.
Invasion
of the Saucer Man?
No.
Yeah, that was it. Yep.
Saucer Man. Invasion of the Saucer Man. That was it.
That was it.
Well, that's
and then
a
there was the little
film.
Kid. Then the little kid with the flying saucer came down in the sand pit by his house. It was taking over people. They'd fall down the sand pit and they'd kill them. Do you remember that one? The Martian?
Yeah, that was... I can't remember the name of it, but I do know it. There's a little kid going,
Mars?
No, they're falling down. Everybody's going, like, shut up, kid. And like, finally they start listening to the kid. And that had that weird alien
Mars.
With the head, and he had flippers.
He was in the little glass ball. Yeah, it was the
green guy. How about Village of the Damned from 1960? Was that aliens that took over those children?
Yeah, some flash from outer space and got the women pregnant.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and all the offspring had white hair and white eyes like that, or
all toe headed.
Yeah, they were like an Aryan race or something. I don't really.
Mm-hmm.
Kids.
Yeah, that
hey,
was
the
more...
real ones are scary enough. Well, folks, they're gonna cut us off any second here, so I just want to thank
second.
You. 66 and Gar the Ghoul blah blah
blah blah. Blah. That's right.
To Erie
every
right
Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yep. We'll be back next week at the same time.
Okay. Sounds good. Enjoy your week.
I'd like to, but I have to spend it with family. Bye-bye.
Oh, well, you know.